And Papa, I thank you, Lord, as we look into the word this morning, that you'll continue to speak to hearts, individual hearts. I thank you that you have a message for each one of us this morning. Help us, Lord, to hear what you want to say to us, to our situation, to our need, what we're facing, what we're going through. Lord, I thank you that you care for us and you want to speak to us. So, Lord, even as I speak to everyone this morning, I thank you that you'll have your own little conversation with everybody here. And you will tell them what their hearts need to hear. And I thank you for it. Amen. Is there anyone here who has started a car without a key? Now, I'm not talking about hot wiring a car, okay? If you've done that, I don't want you to put your hand up. I'm asking about whether anyone here has got into a car and simply said, start, and it has started. Anybody? Okay. I wish Rebecca was in the room. She went and hired a car, and she got in the car, and she was looking around thinking, I don't have a key. How do I get this thing to start? And she had to go back into the office and say, I can't get the car to start. And they said, well, just go back, sit in the car and say, start. Who's seen on TV where they now have self-driving cars? Who wants to go in a self-driving car? Oh, what a question that is. I've got some going yes, some going no. To sit in a car and say, oh, I want to go to Lynn Mall, and it just takes you there and parks it. It actually parks it. I think I'd like that. Who here has used Siri? Some of you use Siri. Who knows what I'm talking about when I say Siri? I'm glad to see a lot more hands. Kevin, come on up, bring your phone up.
Siri, what's my name?
You're asking me, Kevin.
You're asking me, Kevin.
You're certainly entitled to that opinion.
Siri, where do I live? Ring Paul Freeman. iPhone.
Calling Paul Freeman. iPhone.
Hi, Siri.
Yes, S-I-R-I. It is a computer-based program. It's actually an assistant that has intelligence, and it's on iPhones and iPads. But we're coming into a day and an age where there is much that's voice-activated. Who's old enough to remember going round as a kid saying, open sesame? Some of you young ones remember that. When we were kids, we dreamed of the fact that we'd be able to walk up to a door, speak to it, and it would open. We live in that reality. There is much that is voice activated in our world now. And though it might be a wee way off before any of us are going around in a self-driven car and simply telling it where to go, the reality is that we all live in a voice-activated world. And our words will take us where we say we are going. Many times the things that we don't have in life is because we're not saying them. Remember weeks ago now, taking tithes and offering and saying to people, if you want the cat, don't call the dog. Ian, I had some react just like that. But many of us are doing that. We're saying the things that are wrong, the things we don't like, and oh, this is bad, and I can't stand this, and oh, it's Monday tomorrow. Oh. I forget who it was, but the Lord spoke to somebody, it was like Norval Hayes or somebody like that, and he said, I've told my people, it was Charles Capps, oh, thanks Diane. I've told my people that they can have what they say.
Yeah, that's right. No.
He was going to chirp in somewhere. I keep on telling my people that they can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have. I tell my people they can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have. This is a subject we hit on often because we need to be reminded of it time and time again. But I'm going to look at it from a slightly different angle this morning. I'm going to start with Isaiah 53:7, talking of Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus caused the Sanhedrin to marvel. He caused everybody who had him on trial to say, why are you silent? Why don't you say anything? Pilate said, why don't you say anything? You've got all these people speaking against you, but you're silent. But Jesus did not say a word. Why? Because if he did, he would not have ended up at the cross. If he spoke the truth, that truth would have set him free. So he remained silent. And I find it interesting looking through Isaiah 53, and Kevin hit on Isaiah 53 this morning in communion. When you look at Isaiah 53, you see everything that Jesus did for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And then you come to this verse 7. and it talks about him being oppressed and afflicted. And he stayed silent. I believe that there are people in the body of Christ who are oppressed and afflicted, and part of their problem is they're silent. Good morning, church. If you feel like there's some demonic influence coming against you, don't be silent. They're not using words. If you're silent, I can't hear what you're saying. Demons can't hear what you're saying. Angels can't hear what you're saying. In fact, let's go on to Matthew 26. Jesus with the disciples in the garden before he was arrested. But Jesus said to him, that's Peter, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Jesus said, I have to stay silent. Because if I release my words, legions of angels will be here and I won't make it to the cross. Do you have any idea how many are in a legion? 6,000. 12 legions of angels would be there in an instant. Most of us are fussing over whether we have one or two angels. I've had conversations with people saying, you know, it says about children that their angels see father's face. So I guess kids must have two, but, you know, when we grow up, do we just end up with one? Do I just walk around with one angel with me? 12 men in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, 12 legions of angels. What if you lived life like you had 6,000 warrior angels walking with you? Do you think you'd have a problem with fear? Well, the thing is that they're there. But the problem is that they're inactive. Why? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, you whose angels, who excel in strength. These guys are big dudes. They're strong. They excel in strength. They don't just have strength. They excel in it. Who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. The voice of his word. That means somebody has to give voice to that word, or they stay inactive. How busy are your legion? Are they standing round saying, boy, I wish we had something to do? When do you think this human's going to wake up and say something? Good morning, church. We've got a lot in this room this morning who excel in strength. they would really love to do something for you. They don't really want to just come along for the ride. Watch when somebody puts you down on the ground and say, okay, I hope the next one talks. When you give voice to his word, you have angels that say, yes, let's go for it. Amazing, eh? Well, I'm going to go on a slightly different tack now. See, I could take you to Joel 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. Why? Because if you keep saying you're weak, you'll stay weak. If you keep saying I'm poor, you'll stay poor. If you say I'm blessed, angels are going, oh, they're saying they're blessed. Well, we better get some blessing to them. Angels want to work on your behalf. I haven't got it on the screen, but the Bible says that they are ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation. The moment you got saved, Papa God said, yes, surround that kid with some angels. And I believe Papa's saying, are you keeping your angels busy? I have a lot of bored angels in my kingdom. Angels can play harps. But I believe that they would really like to fight on your behalf. They would really like to see you gain everything that Jesus provided for you. They get excited when they see you blessed, healed, favored, prospered, good relationships. They see you praising God and they hear the words that come out of your mouth. That's when angels get excited. Let's not have a church of bored angels. James 3 speaks of the tongue as being like a bit in a horse's mouth or rudder on a boat. That's how they got about in the day that it was written. Has anybody ridden a horse to work? Anybody rode a boat to work? Anybody take a ferry to work? Let's brief it up a little bit. If we wrote James 3 today, we would say that the tongue is your steering wheel. Or your GPS. Where you set it is where you will go. It's far too easy to read over, oh yeah, bits and horses' mouths. Okay, yeah, I guess so. Our life is voice activated. Let's live in that reality. But as I said, I'm going to take a slightly different slant on that this morning. Let's go to James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I think most of us are starting to get a little bit of an understanding that our words have power and that we use our words to declare where we want to go. But I believe there's also an area where we live fairly ignorant, and it touches on it in this verse. That part of our healing comes from relationship. It comes from the use of words in relating to one another. Most of us are happy to tell God our stuff, but tell someone else? You've got to be kidding. But part of what Papa has for you, he has packaged inside somebody else. And it may not even be somebody you like. Oh dear, haven't we got a problem? I remember somebody coming to me years ago now. I don't think it's anybody in the church here. They had a particular need in an area. And I said, oh, listen, I know somebody who is a real expert on that. Let me give you this tape series. And I gave it to them. They took it home. The next Sunday they brought it back and said, oh, I can't listen to them. I just hate the sound of their voice. And I took it back and I thought, you just missed what God had for you because you didn't like their voice. I didn't think you'd get excited over that one. Let's have a look at some words in this and let's start pulling it apart. That word confess, Rick Renner says to declare, to say out loud, to exclaim, to diverge, or to blurt out. Sounds a bit dangerous, doesn't it? Blurt out what's going wrong with you and what you've been trying to keep hidden. Why? Because the devil traffics in darkness, and what we hide in darkness does not get healed. We may wish that we could keep it in darkness, and we may be afraid of bringing it to the light. But remember this verse we started with? He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Why? Because he stayed silent. I believe Papa wants his body free, but it means that we're going to have that love between one another where we can be honest about who we are. And I believe one of the key things about that is taking judgment out of the church. See, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I'm not going to tell anybody my stuff if I feel, number one, they're going to broadcast it, or number two, they're going to condemn me. Papa wants us free. But part of your freedom comes from community. It comes from relationship. It comes from being honest with another human. I love the story of Jesus with the demoniac. This guy who was full of a legion of demons. Says when the villagers came out that they found this man at Jesus' feet and he was clothed and in his right mind. I love the fact that Jesus clothed him. He covered his shame. And I believe the body of Christ has been far too quick to expose shame rather than cover it. Papa wants you healed and he wants your shame covered. But many times we get in a situation where we cannot cover ourselves. We don't know how to deal with something. Maybe it's just a thought that keeps going over and over and over in your mind and you don't know, is that God or is that the devil? Is God telling me I have to deal with this, or is that just the devil that's coming at me and just reminding me of stuff that I've already dealt with? I suggest you go find out. Ask somebody. Talk to them. Confess your trespasses. What are trespasses? What means to fall? Means a deviation from truth. In other words, a lie. When we believe a lie, we empower the liar. But what if you don't know it's a lie? I've had people tell me, God's making me sick to teach me something. I can pray for them all I like. I'm not going to get that person healed until I deal with the lie. God is not making you sick. Jesus has already paid for your healing. The devil makes people sick. God makes people well. Last one, a lapse from uprightness, sin, misdeed. It's dealing with the messy stuff. I loved the dance that you guys did. Especially loved the fact that it was from the book of Nehemiah. On Tuesdays at Connect and Build, we're looking at the rebuilding of the walls in Nehemiah's time. And one of the things I've been studying, one of the gates we're going to be looking at, is the Dung Gate. Do you know Jerusalem has a dung gate? Do you know that God wants that gate working? Oh dear. I'm a farm girl, sorry. See, many times as believers, we don't know how to deal with stuff, so we just stuff it down and hope it will go away. It doesn't go away. It has to be cleaned. I just had something come to my mind and I was thinking, dear Lord, would I actually share that illustration with them? Someone said, yeah. Okay. And as a kid on the farm, we did not have a flush toilet. We had a tin can. You had to empty the tin can. Somebody had to be brave enough to go in there, pick up that thing, and go take it out and bury it. Or tip it out, was the worst part. You can see why I said, Lord, really, was that you? Should I really share that illustration? See, now you're going to have to decide, did she hear from God or not on that one? Some of you are going, no, she definitely didn't. Do we know how to deal with stuff? If you're a visitor here this morning, it's not normally like this. I don't know. But this is where we live and we come in and we don't talk about dealing with stuff. We pretend we don't have any. No, we don't need that part. We just forget it, you know. Now God says, deal with it. Tell somebody else about it. Go talk to them. And I don't believe Papa wants us afraid to deal with stuff. I think most of us have been afraid of being found out. Afraid to be real, afraid of making mistakes. I'll tell you another story. This This one's a better story, I think. When Ray and I got engaged, we had some friends throw an engagement party for us, which was great. We had a whole lot of people come round and it was a fun time. But they decided to play a couple of games. One of the games was they got all the guys and made the guys pull their trousers up above their knees, and they stood them all together and they put a blindfold on me and I was to find Ray's legs. Oh dear. It's like, I panicked. It's like, I saw all these men's legs and it's like, no, I don't want to go there. But the big thing that went on the inside for me was a fear raised its ugly head that nobody else saw because I was still smiling on the outside. But on the inside, a voice started chirping, "What if you get it wrong?" Apart from the humiliation of claiming some legs that didn't belong to Ray, it's like... See, as a kid, if I got things right, Dad took notice. If I didn't, he was too busy. So on the inside, I had this drive, I've got to get it right. So I had that from my father. I was skipped ahead of class when I was a kid, small school out in the country. And one day I said something and the teacher humiliated me in front of the rest of the class and I felt so small. Absolutely stupid. So there was that fear of being humiliated. So this fun game for everybody else, they thought it was marvellous, Pam crawling around on her hands and knees trying to find her husband-to-be legs. Me, I was like, oh, what if I get it wrong? I'm so scared. It wasn't a game for me. And sometimes in life, we end up with situations like that, where everybody else thinks it's fine. But on the inside, there's voices. On the inside, there's a war. On an inside, all the trash from the past starts to speak. If we're going to move on from that, we have to learn how to grab hold of it and go and talk to somebody and say, I really struggle with that. Ray and I keep on having to do that in our marriage. He'll say something or I'll say something and it's like, phew, that response seemed a bit strong. And we'll have to say, well, what was happening on the inside was this. It tapped into that. It tapped into something long ago. And I'm not responding to you. I'm responding to that hurt. I'm not responding to you. I'm responding to a fear on the inside that says I'm not good enough. I'll never make it. If I do something wrong, you'll reject me. I see a couple of you brave enough to nod. See, this is where we live. And this is where, for one another, we can be that person that comes, that listens, that doesn't judge, but simply understands. Let's finish the verse. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I don't know about you, but I look at that and think, Why are those two sentences together? How does that work? God deliberately put them together because right in the midst of the mess, right in the midst of saying, this is who I am, this is what I struggle with, we need to know that we're righteous. We need to know that our prayers are heard. See, it says, where it says effective fervent, it's only one word. It's energio, means energized. The energized prayer of a righteous man avails much. See, if you don't know you're righteous, your prayers won't be energized. You'll go, oh, please, Jesus, have pity on me. If you know that you're righteous, if you know that you're God's kids, your prayers will have that energy of acceptance, of love, where you can talk to Papa and you can say, thank you, in the midst of my mess, you love me. In the midst of the things that are going on the inside of me, there is hope. I have a great future. Let me encourage you. Find the dung gate in your life. Learn how to deal with stuff. None of that was in my notes. Let me also encourage you. When somebody comes to you, recognize what they've had to push through to come to you. It's not easy. And if somebody says, hey, love to take you out for a coffee, love to have a chat about some things, they are being courageous. And the whole thing in this verse talks about prayer. Don't connect them to you, connect them to God. The moment you make somebody dependent upon you for answers, you keep them a child. Let's be wise enough when people come to us and have stuff that they need to process through and they need to deal with, to connect them with the Lord and say, let's pray about that. Let's ask Papa what he has to say. And if they don't know how to hear Papa, help them find Papa's voice. Let's pray. Papa, I'm going to just trust you with the things I said this morning. Lord, that there won't be any offence for anybody here. But Lord, that there will be an awareness of reality that until we get to heaven, we will have stuff to deal with. And Lord, I thank you for that atmosphere of love and acceptance in our midst, where we won't gossip about somebody else's problems. Lord, we won't expose somebody's shame, but Jesus, we will be like you, where we will bring deliverance from demonic oppression to people. We will break the bonds of wickedness that hold people bound, and we will see them clothed and in their right mind, fully praising you, rid of all the mess, rid of all the voices and the condemnation and the guilt and the trash. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're raising up an army of healers who know how to fight and how to heal. And I thank you for that. Amen. I'm in the closer meeting now. There will be a ministry team up the front here. If you want prayer, come, and the ministry team would love to pray with you and minister to you.